Good morning. How are you today? Glad to hear that. And I am just so happy to hear these young people sing to the Lord and encourage us to sing also. What a joy. Thank you for singing. Thank you all for singing, okay, young people. I am just happy to be here this morning after speaking to the Spanish group here in, on the other side. Thank you for inviting them and for having them here at your place. Thank you so much. I am the Hispanic coordinator for the Hispanic side of our work here in Central California Conference. I'm always telling people that I am just a pastor, okay? I am not an administrator. It's a difficult thing for me to administer, to be coordinating things. I love to share the word with people. I have a morning prayer every day at 6 a.m. And I just rejoice seeing nearly a couple hundred people meet every morning for prayer from different parts of this country, and also from people from out of state, and also from people from other countries that join us. And just joyful to share with them every single day the Word of God. You know, people are hungry to hear God's Word. I am amazed at the power of God when it comes to people and when people are receptive. I had an announcement during those times that we meet in the mornings. I announced that I was going to have an event in Fresno. I was the pastor at the Fresno Hispanic Church just before I went to be the Hispanic coordinator for this conference. And so I pastored there for about 2.5 years. So as I was having these meetings sometime in the month of June, July, I announced that I would be having a special event at the Fresno Hispanic Church. I was going to baptize one person from those meetings that we have, from San Bernardino. He was going to travel down here, was going to be baptized. And so we made all the plans and everything. And I announced it in Zoom. I was surprised to see the response. We had about 50 people show up from out of state. Actually, there was at least a dozen people from outside the country. Ecuador, Mexico, and other places. I didn't know what to say, what to make of it. I go, God's word is powerful. It moves people to spend money. It moves people to do something. I was just joyful to see all these people. When I heard that they were coming, I told our people, because the Fresno Hispanic Church is smaller than this, a bit smaller than this, and so sometimes it gets full. And so I told the head elder, I said, please separate at least 7 to 10 pews, you know, so that all of our people that are coming may have a place, you know, where to sit, and we will not take their, you know, the seat for them. And so they came and sat on the left-hand side. I finished the baptism. I came out of the baptistry. I stood in the platform, and I made a call as the gentleman had me baptized was just standing right beside me. I made a call. About 20 people of those who had come walked forward for baptism. Friends, I am impressed at what God is doing. Deeply impressed what he's accomplishing with a person who doesn't know much, who is not a great speaker, but yet sits in front of that screen and speaks to people, and people join in. God can do that with everybody else. If we were to stand and say, you know what, I'm here, and I am willing to do whatever it takes. I am willing to preach. Hear me, my friends. Those 20 people, about 20 people that came forward, I said, look, I can't baptize you now, but I will, I said, in the future. So I opened up a special Bible study on Sundays at 5 p.m. First time that I opened it up, over 50 people connected from different parts, outside of the country and out of state. Again, another surprise. So we have another event on December 10th. Out of those 20 people, 20-some people that came forward, 12 of them are being baptized on December 10th. You know, God is doing things that really amazes me. I know that the end is near, and I want to live according to it. Paul was in jail in Rome, and he writes the book of Ephesians. Now, the book of Ephesians has two different parts to it. The first three chapters, you probably know that, but I can share it with you now in the context of the sermon. So the first three chapters speaks about all the blessings that God has given us. All the blessings that God has given us, including grace, resurrecting us from the death of sin. So all the blessings are presented in the first three chapters. On the last three chapters, Paul tells us how to live according to all the blessings that we have received. So I want to read you a verse here in chapter 4 and verse 1 and 2. And just so you see how he tells us to live, just before we look into the prayer that Paul gave us in chapter 1 that we read this morning. Chapter 4 of the book of Ephesians, verses 1 and 2. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. It's interesting, if you turn back, don't lose that portion right there, but turn back to chapter 1 and verse 3 and notice what it says. Chapter 1, verse 3. I know you can manage the Bible real fast, and so I'm going to go a little bit fast, okay? Blessed be the God of our Father, of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's interesting to notice that Paul is in jail, and yet he says, we have received so many blessings from God. And so he says in chapter 4, verse 1, says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And then he begins to explain. The three chapters that are left in this book, 4, 5, and 6, tells us exactly how to live life. Family, wife, husband, children, wherever you work, whatever you do. But listen just to verse 2. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing one another in love. Paul is asking us to live in such a way that we imitate Jesus' life. But I want to take you back to chapter 1 and verse 15 on, where we had the reading. This is a prayer that Paul had, and it has three parts that are really important. I want to highlight the last one, the last part of the prayer. So come with me to chapter 1 and verse 15. Notice what it says. We'll take a little Bible study here this morning. Verse 15 says, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. So Paul has written this letter not to the Ephesians. The phrase to the Ephesians was written later on. It is believed that it was a circular letter that was sent to all of the churches. And so he's heard the testimony of what God has been doing in the hearts of his people around the empire, the Roman Empire. And he's very, very joyful to hear this. Now listen to verse 16. Because I heard this, I do not cease to give thanks. Thanksgiving. Paul was happy to hear that, to see, to know that his people had faith and love in God. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. So I am praying for you. I want you to know that I am praying. Nothing more comforting than to know that somebody is praying for you, as somebody has really taken the time to think of you so that you are in his heart, her heart. This morning, as we were traveling this way, we were at home, my wife and I, we were getting ready to come down here, and she says, did you know that in the prayer they were praying for you? I said, I didn't know that. Well, I have people that connect through my phone on a line where they make a phone call. I have people that connect through Zoom, and I have people who connect through YouTube. So we got people on three different places. I connect to some of them and interact with them after I talk for about 35 minutes. And on the phone side, they were actually praying for me. I felt really good about that, you know. Somebody has me in his heart, in his mind. But we also shall pray for other people. I was presenting the sermon 2 days ago on Thursday morning at 6 a.m. And I had over 100 people on Zoom. And as I was speaking, I got a phone call. This gentleman called me, and I hung up on him because I was still, you know, talking to the people on Zoom. So, but as soon as I was finished with the sermon, I picked up the phone and I called him. I dialed back. This is Francisco on the other end. He lives in Chino, California. And Francisco says, "Pastor, I didn't call you." I said, "Francisco, you didn't call me?" He says, "I didn't." He says, "But it's so good that you have called me." I said, "Wait, Francisco, I have a missed call here." I said, "You call me." He says, "No, I didn't call you." I said, "Well, we're not going to fight over that, okay? But you did call me." I said, "Look, I already called you back." I said, "What's in your heart?" He says, 2 weeks ago, I tried to take my life." I said, "No wonder you called. Or no wonder my phone rung with your name there." I said, "It's okay," I said. So we talked for about 20, 30 minutes. I'm trying to listen to him and really trying to help him out, you know. So I put him on the speaker also, and I connect him through Zoom. And I said, "Look, you know, there's people here. I'm going to have a pastor pray for you because I have pastors in the connection too." And so somebody pray for him. That was it. I called a friend of mine in Upland, California. And I said, "Look, I have a man," I said, "who needs help." She says, "I will connect with that person today." She did. She actually, this morning, she woke him up. She said, "Look, you got to be connected." So he was on Zoom this morning through the phone because he's not techie, you know. So he connected through the phone call, and she was the means to connect him. At the end, he said these words: "I have not slept all night long. I only woke up because somebody called me. I just barely fell asleep, but I've been hearing the sermon, and I am so happy to be here." We pray for him. You know, it's so important. People don't look for great things, but they look for little things that impact their hearts. How can we make that connection with people? How can we reach out to the lost? How can we reach out to those who are needing? So this lady tells me, I said, "Hey, how did you do this?" I said, "Well, he's already connecting." She says, "Yeah." I asked him if he would receive Bible studies, and this is what he said. He said, "Yes, I will." And he said, "When do we start?" She said, "Right now. Let me get my Bible so I can give you a Bible study." I said, because I had asked her to go and visit with him, but her husband was not available, so she wouldn't go. And she says, "I gave him a Bible study through the phone at that very moment." And I said, "How often are you going to go see him?" And she says, "Until my husband returns from that trip that he's on. But I will have Bible studies every day with him." I said, "Really?" She says, "Yeah, every day." And you know what she said? She says, "This is the way you capture people." "Really?" I said. She says, "Yeah." She says, "When they call you, you tell them, 'We study right now.' Not only that, but when they ask you, 'When do we meet next?' 'Tomorrow.' And then the next day, and then the next day." She says, "You know what? They turn their hearts over to Christ." It is true. Amazing what prayer does. So Paul is praying for his people. He knows they are out there, and they do have issues, and they do have challenges. And so he says in verse 16, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. But now notice what he's praying for. I want you to notice his prayers. It's very interesting, this prayer. Very powerful too. Listen to it. "That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." I want you to be wise, and I want you to know God. Two things. I want you to be wise, and I want you to know God. Wisdom, being able to choose the right and not choose the wrong. A wise person is somebody who can distinguish between good and bad and chooses the good. Simple as that. Jesus was at the Mount of Blessings. His first sermon according to Matthew. And he gave all the principles of the kingdom, including at the beginning of chapter 5, all the blessings that we need to be joyful and happy. And at the end of his sermon in chapter 7, he says, For such reasons, I will consider a wise person he who hears and does. So the person who is wise is somebody who listens and does. We can listen, but if we don't do, wisdom is not there. We are considered among the foolish who build their house in the sand. I had a friend of mine back in Mexico when I first came to the United States, I one time received a call from my mom, and she said, you know where this gentleman, your friend, is building a house? I said, he's not my friend, and if he's building it, what are you telling me? She says, he's building the house right beside the river. I said, you got to be kidding. There's a lot of sand. He says it's really easy to dig the holes for the foundations. I said, yeah, it is really easy, I said. 2 years later, she called me back. She says, you know the house that your friend built? I said, yeah, it's not there anymore. You got to build your house on the rock. It takes wisdom. Paul says, I'm praying for you that God will give you wisdom. You might say, Pastor, I know all this. Yeah, I know you know. But sometimes we make the wrong choices, and it's good to be reminded. Listen to this. In verse 18, he continues the prayer, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Number one, I want you to know, with all these things, wisdom and knowledge and your eyes being enlightened, I want you to know what is the hope of your calling. You know, without hope, we lose everything. Everything. Hope is everything. If we lose it, we lose everything. What I am doing in these meetings that I have throughout the week, every day, by the way, I've been doing this for about almost 3 years. In March, it'll be 3 years. And it's madness because you can't speak for so long, you know, in a topic and another, but I take it by the book. I take a book and I just read through it and I explain it a little bit. But I've been disseminating hope all over the world. 2 weeks ago, I had a lady that finally decided to speak in the group. So I have about 150 people on Zoom. And when I finish, we allow for about 40 minutes for people to ask requests. They can also sing a song, and they can also give their testimony, and they can request their prayer. And this lady finally says, I want to say something. 2 weeks ago, she says, I've been here for 3 months, but I have not opened up my camera, she says. I am in Washington, she says. And I want to share with you my testimony. I've been using drugs since I was 12 years old. 12 years old. I was never able to quit drugs. I didn't know how. A friend of mine reached out to me and she said, you know, I won't give you the name. She says, you need to connect to this prayer. So she says, I connected. 3 months ago, she says. 3 months ago, I connected. And I didn't want to speak up, she says. But today, I just can't hold it in my heart, she says. I gotta say it, she says. It's been 2 months that for the first time in my life, since I was 12 years old, I finally quit using drugs, she says. And I am clean, she says. You know what she said? She was touching her heart right here on the left-hand side. She says, my heart just wants to get out of my chest, she says. Of the joy that I feel for being able to live my life without drugs. 2 months I'm clean, she says. You know, God is wanting to free people. We need to give them knowledge and understanding. Help them to get wisdom and help them to have some hope. Now, she said, I have hope. And now, she said, I got 6 kids that were born to me. I can be an example to them. And give him some hope. So Paul is praying that God will give us hope. Listen to this. We continue to read in verse 18. That you may know what is the hope of your calling, of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So hope and the riches of his inheritance. Things that ears have not heard and no one has ever been able to utter them is the riches that we have in heaven. I want to be there. It is my hope. It is my desire to be in heaven and spend my life with Jesus by his side traveling to other worlds, the riches of my Father. But now I want to put the emphasis on verse 19, which is really the part that I'm interested in the most. And what is the exceeding greatness? So we have, number one, the hope, and now the riches. And now Paul says, I want you to also know what is the exceeding greatness of his power. Exceeding greatness of his power. So what is this thing that Paul is wanting us to know? Toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. But he hasn't told us the thing, right? He's only just given us some information. Notice, which is the exceeding greatness of his power in verse 20, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That is his exceeding great power, when he raised him from the dead. But not only that, the verse continues to say, and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Now, I believe that the rest of the chapter continues on, but there is no break in chapter 2. Chapter 2 should continue together all the way to verse 10, at least. In the Greek, you probably know, no commas, no periods, all the words together, there's no separation between word and word. And so when the separation of the chapters came, I probably would have, if I would have been there, I would have, you know, divided it all the way to verse 10. Why? Because now Paul is going to make the application of God's exceeding power that he executed on Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead. And he sat him on his right hand in the heavenly places. Now he will come to us in verse 2 and says, you also were dead in your sins and your trespasses. And God, because he's rich in mercy towards you, he raised you up also from being dead on your sins. I think about all these people that listen in the morning and come up with these things. This lady, you know, that I just mentioned to you, 2 months without using drugs. She has 6 kids. This lady is at least 40 years of age. Did God wake her up? Did God raise her from the dead? Did God give her power to say, you know, I will not use these things anymore? Yes, he did. God has the power, exceeding great power, to raise people from where they are in sin and raise them up. I was driving this morning. My wife and I were driving from Visalia. That's where I live. And as I drove, I got a call. This person from down south. Like I said, this morning I just spoke to them, you know, 100 and some people. And she says, Pastor, I want to tell you this. She says, there is a lady, a couple in Ecuador that are asking how they can send their tithe and offerings to the church. They have been listening to you for over 3 months, she says, and now they're asking. But you know what? The interesting thing is this, that this same couple about 2 months ago called and said, are there any schools in Ecuador where we can send our children? We know what they're teaching out there, and we just wonder if your organization, your church, has schools nearby where we live. They send us their address, and we send them back and said, yes, there are schools in Ecuador. You can send your children to school. And they are already sending their children to school, to Seventh-day Adventist schools. And now, we haven't asked for money. We haven't told them you need to give your tithe, but they know they should. And so they they reach out to this lady, and she called me. She says, look, Pastor, they're asking how. Is God waking up people? He certainly is. Not only that, but he's doing greater things than what we can imagine. I had a lady that came in September 24th to see this baptism of this friend of theirs who is in Zoom in our meetings. And so this couple came from Chicago. The wife is a Seventh-day Adventist. She had been baptized, but she had to hide from her husband so that nothing would go wrong, you know. she couldn't tell her husband that she wanted to be baptized. So she gave us her her story, and she says, you know what, I had to be hiding because my husband didn't want me to be baptized. So I did it, you know, in a secret way. So she went and got baptized. But this occasion, on September 24th, they traveled together, and they went to Ontario Airport, and then they rented a van, and they drove down to Fresno, California, where we were going to have that event, that baptism. They wanted to see that, and they wanted to meet with me also. So they came in, they flew to Ontario from Chicago, they rented a van on Friday afternoon, and Saturday morning they showed up at 9 a.m., and they had breakfast there with us. We were talking. At the end of the service, I made a call for people to be baptized, like I told you. Her husband stood up, big guy, beard, strong, gave me a hug. I felt small, you know. And I said, I hope he doesn't break my bones. And he came forward, her husband, you know. And she came with him. And so we prayed, and then we went out, we ate together, I spoke for another hour, they were asking questions, all these people, and all these 30-some people, you know, surrounded me, and these are non-SDA people, okay? This is the first time they've come to a church, most of them. And so they surrounded me, they're asking all kinds of questions after we finished eating. And then they left. On the road, this lady calls me, and she says, Pastor, there is about 12 of us here in the van. And Sach, who came from Chicago, she does not stop crying. And I thought, oh my goodness, something must have happened. I said, well, tell me what is going on. She says, she is crying because of a very good reason. I said, tell me. She started telling me. Her husband has just told her that he will be baptized in the next baptism that you have, and he will fly from Chicago and come and be baptized here in Fresno. In 2 weeks, he's being baptized. It's amazing what the power of God can do. It's amazing what God is able to revive in the heart of a person. You cannot do it, and I cannot do it, but God's power is able to do it. God's almighty power. Listen to how he tells us that we were dead. Come to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. I'm going to read right through, okay? And you he made alive, he says, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So he calls us. He says, you were dead, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit of who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, this three-letter word is very important. We were dead, but God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive. His exceeding great power that he did in Jesus Christ when he raised him from the dead, now in us, in the spiritual side. We were dead in sins, but he raised us, he says. Even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. But he didn't stop there. He raised Jesus, and he sat him at his right hand. And he does exactly the same thing with us. This is amazing that God's power will raise us from the dead, that will take a lady who lives in Washington or in Northern California, and she's been dead for almost 30 years using drugs, and God will save her and say to her, you are sitting with me in heaven right now. 3 days ago, and I'm telling you this because I want you to see the power of God, okay? 3 days ago, I was studying so I could give the lesson at 6 a.m. And I opened up Zoom at 5 a.m. 5 minutes later, somebody connected. We don't open up Zoom until 6 a.m., okay? But this lady connects from Ecuador also. And she sits there. And so I said, I need to talk to this person. She probably has the wrong time. So I talked to her. I said, look, we're going to start within about 50 minutes, I said. She says, I know. I want to be here, she said. So I put some music. She was there. I think it was Tuesday or Wednesday. Then she listened to the whole sermon and all the testimonies. The next day, she comes on again at 5:30. I opened up and she's in early again. So I put some music on. She's listening. I'm studying, getting ready for the presentation. After the 30, 40-minute talk, we opened up for testimonies. And she said, I want to say something, she said. I said, tell us. She says, I'm from Ecuador. And I want to tell you that yesterday, she says, God did a miracle. I said, why is that? She says, because I had a question yesterday that I wanted to ask you, she says. And what was the question? She says, well, wait, let me explain to you. She says, I've been told by my family, because I am not a Christian, she says, and they're all Christians, that I am not a daughter of God. She says, and I feel so bad. She says, and somebody told me and asked me to connect to this meetings. And yesterday, she says, when you finished the presentation, you were going to speak about John chapter 1 and verse 12 and 13, where those who receive them have the power to become sons of God. She says, I was so interested. I'm here to hear that. And I have just listened to your sermon, she says, and I am just so joyful. She wrote in the chat and she says, I am giving my life to Christ. And she said it in public, I mean, within this meeting. She says, I know that God cares about me. And I am surrendering today, she says, my life to Christ. Two presentations. Because God has the power, my friend, to revive people who are dead. But I wonder sometimes also, if that could happen to me as I sit on the pews. I wonder if I have the vibrancy that I had when I first came to the Lord. I wonder sometimes if we could plateau at some point in time, you know, instead of continue to go up, that we may just go flat. Let me share with you. I baptized through these meetings in July 3rd. I baptized a gentleman who lives in Northern California on the other side of Stockton, a little place called Escalon. Some of you might know it. Escalon. It's a little small town. I baptized him. And one day he told me, he says, Pastor, I have given my life to Christ. I want to bring 100 people to the Lord, he says. And I thought, you know, this guy was just baptized. He's just saying it because he's on fire and everything. I said, great. I said, I am just happy to hear that. I said, connect people. He has 5 people who are going to be baptized through him this coming December 10th. And he told me again, he says, Pastor, next year I am committing to 100 people. I said, look, I'm not afraid of giving you, his name is Roberto. I said, Roberto, look, you've got to speak to my pastors. As you know, I'm the Hispanic coordinator. I'm a pastor, but I'm a pastor for the pastors that lead out in the Spanish side. I said, look, you got to speak to my people, to my pastors. I said, I have a meeting on Tuesday. I don't remember the date, but it was a Tuesday. I said, I have a meeting. Can you come in and give us a 15, 20-minute devotional and tell the pastors what you have in your heart and what God is doing? Because some of my pastors might just have plateaued and might not be doing anything, I said. And that could be happening here too. If the fire is not there, and I want you to know that I love you, it's got to be rekindled again. If the fire to reach out the lost is not in the heart, something has gone south. It needs to be rekindled. So I had this gentleman, Roberto, come and speak. So he comes in, and he begins to speak with this fire in his heart. I mean, you could see that on his eyes. You could see it. You could see it. I mean, this is incredible almost. And he begins to tell the pastor, you know, this is what God has done for me. And he gives his testimony, and he says, and then at the end I said, Roberto, would you please tell our pastor, because there are some pastors, we only baptize, you know, 5-6 people a year, you know. I said, well, this is not a pastor, okay, this is just a regular person who has a job, who works at a place, and he says he wants to baptize 100 people. I said, would you please share with my pastors, I said, here, how many people you are desiring to baptize next year? He says, 100. How? How can somebody think God will give me 100 people? How? It's impossible, isn't it? So if it's not impossible for God, where is the problem? So, you're the one saying, and not me, okay? It is a problem. Well, listen to this.
KFHL Wesco, California, 91.7 FM.
I called in one of my pastors, okay? One of my Hispanic pastors. I said, come on over and talk to you. He sat down at the office and we're talking, you know. And I said, would you please tell me what you think of Roberto, I said, and what he said. I thought he was going to say he's out of his mind, you know, he's never going to do 100. He says, all along, as he was telling us and sharing with us, I was asking myself, where did I lose my fire? Where did I lose my fire for God? Where? Where did it go? And I said, that's exactly what I wanted to do. That's exactly what I wanted to accomplish. I wanted to see what has happened with our pastors. And I want to see what has happened to our members. I do. I'm serious about this. I know, and I'm totally sold on this, that Christ is coming. Last year, I preached over 250 sermons. Over 250 sermons. The average for a pastor is 2 per week, maybe one, probably 60, 70 sermons. I probably did over 300 sermons, most likely, because on Saturdays I preached twice, three times sometimes, and then sometimes on Wednesdays and Tuesdays, and then in the mornings, that's almost every day. Think about that. I go, Lord, how can we reach out to the world? How can we wake up our people? What has happened to us? Where is your exceeding great power that has awakened all these people that are on Zoom? And how can we spread this out to the rest of our CCC and beyond CCC to the world? I had a lady call from Spain. She says, I have been connecting for over 4 months, she says. I want to tell you, she says, that God has saved me. I am not able to show up in Fresno, she says. But right here where I am, I have accepted Jesus Christ. And so I acquire a name for the group. Guerreros Imparables de Salvación. Unstoppable Warriors of Salvation. And I said, those of you who want to be that, you need to make a commitment that you will use your time, some of your time, so that God can save others through you. You know how many wrote on the chat that wanted to be that? My goal next year is to baptize at least 50 people from other countries and from out of state. I know that God can do it. Do you think He can do it? How many would you like to commit to God and say, Lord, here I am. Use me. I want to pray for you. Grace is powerful, my friend. God's exceeding greatness, resurrection, to raise somebody from the dead and to raise you and me from where we are, he's able to do it. Let me pray for you. Father in heaven, I am here with my friends, and I'm asking that you will help us to contemplate your greatness, your love, and your kindness towards us, and that we may share it with other people too, that others may see what you're able to do. Please help us to be loving and kind, and to be, let others know that there is a God who has the power to resurrect them from the state in which they are. But we also ask first that you may resurrect us with your exceeding great power, that you will wake us up from the tomb, and that you will seat us with you in heavenly places. For we ask and pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.
Please stand for our closing song, Amazing Grace, number 108 in your hymnals. And verses 1, 2, 3, and 5.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Was grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears believed. How precious did that grace appear, the hour I first believed.
The last prayer, so I'm going to do two, okay? Just before I do, I have a friend who lives in Atascadero. He drove on the 24th of September 2.5 hours to be in Fresno. He will drive 2.5 hours on the 10th of December to be in Fresno. He does not speak a word of Spanish. But he said these words the first time he came. He said, I've seen all that's happening here. If I spoke Spanish, he said, I'd be a member of this church. It's amazing what God can do. He wants to do it through you. Let me pray for you. Father, I know you love us and you care for us. And I know you want to set a fire on us that will not be extinguished with anything. Nothing will quench it. Give us your Holy Spirit. Give us the exceeding great power of the resurrection from sin and wake us up to love people, to care for people, and to share with people, and to let people know that there is a God in heaven who cares for them, who can liberate them from the sin and the addiction, drug addictions, or any other thing that may come their way. Please bless us with your power, Lord, and sit us by your side in the heavenly places, we ask. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. May God bless you. It's been a pleasure to be with you.